Imagine arriving at the arcade and then having to wait in line behind your grandparents. That story's coming up. I'm Carl Azus. You're watching CNN Student News. First up, it was a sweep for former senator and current presidential candidate Rick Santorum. Three states, three victories. Santorum finished in first place in Tuesday's Republican caucuses in Minnesota and Colorado, and in the Republican primary in Missouri. Now, there's still a long way to go. The goal in primaries and caucuses for all of the candidates is to win delegates. Once a candidate wins enough, he wins the party's presidential nomination. These events run through the end of June. The next ones are on February 28th. Some experts are saying that Tuesday night's results could reshape the race for the Republican nomination. Here's how the candidates reacted after Tuesday's contests.
So we definitely are the campaign right now with the momentum, the enthusiasm on the ground, and we feel very good that the delegate count will at least match and maybe even exceed what we received in Colorado and Minnesota.
This was a good night for Rick Santorum. I want to congratulate Senator Santorum. Wish him the very best. We'll keep on campaigning down the road, but I expect to become our nominee with your help.
Our goal is through Super Tuesday, we then go to Alabama and Mississippi, and then we go to Texas. And our hope is, by the time we get to Texas on April 6th, that we'll basically be pretty close to a tie with Governor Romney.
You do have to start picking up, and we have some others. We're optimistic we're going to keep picking up delegates. That's what the other ones are doing. Nobody else is, about to at this moment jump ahead of Romney. But I'll tell you what, we think we're going to keep doing this.
America's military mission in Iraq ended last December. There was a small ceremony in Baghdad and another one at an Air Force base in the U.S. a few days later. But there's one veterans group that's pushing for a ticker tape parade that honors all of the men and women who served in the Iraq War. It's led to a debate about when that might happen and why it hasn't happened yet. Brian Todd has more.
A fitting tribute to the Super Bowl champs down New York's so-called Canyon of Heroes. But some other heroes are now wondering, why not us?
I think most Americans agree, if the Giants deserve a Super Bowl, so do the 1 million Iraq veterans who served.
Paul Rykoff, who served in combat in Iraq, is head of the group Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. He's petitioning government officials to throw a parade for troops returning from Iraq. It's a sentiment that's gathered critical mass on the campaign trail.
And it frustrates me greatly that as we come home from one of those theaters, that our government, this administration, refuses to give them the simple acknowledgement of a job well done with a parade down a main street of Washington, D.C. or New York City.
There's certainly a template for it. After the first Gulf War in 1991, parades were thrown for those returning troops right down Constitution Avenue here in Washington and in New York, events that cost millions of dollars and attracted national media coverage.
Impressive showings of troops, weaponry, aircraft. It recalled the rollicking parades after both world wars, but notably missing after Vietnam. For troops from the Iraq War, St. Louis decided to go ahead with a parade recently, and the White House plans on holding a dinner for some Iraq veterans. But top Pentagon officials say a national-level parade now would be premature.
The chairman and other senior military leaders do not think that it's appropriate at the given time with service members in large numbers fighting in Afghanistan to hold a national-level parade in New York City.
But analysts say another factor at play could be this image.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended.
No one wants to be criticized for declaring victory prematurely.
It really shows how controversial the Iraq War is. Even when it's over, people are debating whether we won or lost. And I think the Pentagon seems to have that mentality of not wanting to declare mission accomplished in a situation where the outcome is so ambiguous.
Colonel David LaPan at the Pentagon says the Joint Chiefs chairman is not thinking along those lines, and he says he hopes a national-level parade will take place as soon as both wars have been concluded. Brian Todd, CNN, Washington.
We are talking about this story on our blog from A to Z. You'll find a link to it on our homepage, that's CNNStudentNews.com. You heard some of the different opinions in that Brian Todd report. Now we want yours. Remember, on the blog, first names only.
Time for the shout-out.
Your days are numbered, and it is time and past time for you to transfer power responsibly and peacefully.
That's Susan Rice talking about Syria's president. What is Rice's job in the U.S. government? Is she the ambassador to Syria, Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, or ambassador to the United Nations? You've got 3 seconds. Go. Susan Rice has been America's UN ambassador for 3 years. That's your answer, and that's your shout out.
Ambassador Rice is the second youngest person to hold that position. She's the first African American woman to be America's representative to the United Nations. So she fits perfectly in the theme of this year's Black History Month, Black Women in American Culture and History. As ambassador, Susan Rice represents the United States to the international community at the United Nations. So she presents America's view on the global issues that the UN tackles, things like peace and climate change and the fight against poverty and disease. Rice held several positions in former President Bill Clinton's administration. She earned her undergraduate degree from Stanford and completed her master's degree and doctorate at Oxford University. We have a great way for you to test your knowledge of other significant people and events in African American history. It's an interactive quiz designed especially for Black History Month, and it's in the Spotlight section on our homepage at CNNStudentNews.com.
Time for a shout-out extra credit. Which of these video games was released first? You know what to do. Was it Mario Brothers, Pong, Pac-Man, or Donkey Kong? Another 3 seconds on the clock. Go! Pong was one of the first video games when it came out in 1972, although the graphics might seem primitive by today's standards. That's your answer, and that's your shout-out extra credit.
All right, you've seen the ratings on video games that say what age group games are suitable for. There's T for teen, E for everyone. Japan might need a new rating for one group of gamers, SC, senior citizens. King Law shows us how the elderly are overrunning some arcades in Japan and why the arcade owners couldn't be happier about it.
In the hyper-animated shoot-em-up world of Japan's video game arcades, the player has gone from pre-teen to retiree.
When we look around, we see a lot of people who are about your same age. Why?
Because it's fun here, says Teruo Kataoka. He's 70. So many gray-haired gamers gather here that this arcade has morphed into an unofficial senior center.
You guys make it.
What's it all?
Of course we did, he says, pointing out the game that meets here every other day. Games are good to prevent dementia. A clear trend spotted by the corporation that owns this arcade, now pushing senior days, building more pinball, coin-generated games, and marketing easy-to-use point cards.
Are you purposely making this more analog to meet the needs of an older population?
That's right, says Sega's spokeswoman. In Japan, the trend is to use the mobile phone to collect points, but we're using paper because it's senior-friendly.
If you think getting elderly people to play video games is a crazy idea, well, consider this. For every child in Japan, there are 2 elderly people. In 50 years, that number will grow. For every child, there will be 4 elderly people. It only makes economic sense.
Japan is aging faster than anywhere on the planet, with a birth rate at historic lows. The arcade is just one example of a once youth-focused industry shifting to meet the population reality. No telling, says the video game industry, what the future of this graying nation holds. Kyung Law, CNN, Tokyo.
Before we go, things are looking up for a very small housing market. It's for 2 kangaroos in an Australian zoo, and it's looking up because these are tree kangaroos. They live most of their lives up off the ground. They just moved into a new home at the facility. Forget hopping. These things are natural climbers. Right now, it's just a male and a female, but the zookeepers say they hope a baby roo could be on the way soon. So in other words, the couple could bring home a little bundle of Joey. Hopefully they're getting settled into their new home and nothing can ruin that experience. We'll bounce back tomorrow with more CNN Student News. Hope to see you then. Bye-bye.